Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Agnes Gunn was already kind of a New York legend before she did something extraordinary, something no one else had ever done. In 2017, she sold a very famous Roy Lichtenstein painting she owned. It went for about $165 million, and she used the money to create the Art for Justice Fund, which aims to support artists, activists, and organizations working toward ending mass incarceration. The move led the New York Times to describe her as the last good rich person. But Aggie Gunn is more than a wealthy woman. She's a keen art collector with very progressive sensibilities. She's the reason there's a John Waters film in the MoMA collection. She was vocal during the AIDS crisis of the 80s, and she still makes visits to artist studios where she asks direct and fair questions. And she takes in what she hears and sees. In fact, it was seeing Ava DuVernay's film 13th that put in motion her desire to help correct the problems in our justice system because, as Aggie puts it in the documentary, some things just aren't right. So how did she become this well-regarded art collector, president emeritus of the Museum of Modern Art, founder of the Studio in a School program that brings art education to public schools facing budget cuts, in addition to her social justice work? Well, her filmmaker daughter, Catherine Gunn, answers many of those questions in her new documentary called Aggie. Was it an easy film to make? Well, here's the first exchange of the movie.
What do you think of this film?
I hope that the film will not be seen by too many people.
Joining us now are Agnes Gunn. Hi, Agnes. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Catherine, thanks.
Hi, Allison. It's great to be here. Thank you.
So, Catherine, this film is a very much behind-the-scenes look. I mean, it's funny that you're laughing at that scene.
Because it's still, you know, it was the sort of central challenge in making this film was trying to focus a spotlight on someone who can't stand having the spotlight focused on them.
Well, there's no shortage of articles about Aggie Gunn, about your mom. So what part of this story, this woman's story, Aggie Gunn's story, not your mom's story, that you want to come forward, that you wanted to put front and center?
Yeah, I've been a filmmaker for decades, and it never occurred to me to make a movie about my own mother. That was really probably the last thing I was ever going to do. Not to jinx it, but that's how I felt. And then she did what you just made reference to, which is she sold this painting with the intention of creating criminal justice reform. She sold it to turn art into justice, into ending mass incarceration. And I thought that was an unbelievable model, and frankly, not that big a stretch. Like, I couldn't actually believe other people hadn't done it before and that it was so rare and unique. And I want other people to look at what they can do and bring that forward and to really take part in our society, in our families, in our communities, to feel their agency. And I feel like that's what she's a model of for me.
And I felt like as I watched the film, as I got to know you, Aggie, through the film, I started to understand why you would do that and how you would naturally come to that moment of selling that painting, which you loved quite a bit. But I want to go all the way back to when you first started loving art, and you say it's in part to classes you took at the Cleveland Museum of Art. One of your high school teachers got you really involved. What do you remember about when you first got drawn into the world of art? What happened that made you realize this is something that I love and that I'm going to pursue?
Well, I love going around the Cleveland Museum. It's still a great museum. It's run by Bill Griswold, who was formerly at the, well, he was in many different places, but he came together with me at the Morgan, and then he was also at the Milwaukee Art Museum and at the Getty.
You took classes at the Cleveland Museum.
And I took classes, yeah. That was what we all took classes, the four oldest ones of us. But Graham and I were the ones that really took them very seriously. I loved going around. I loved seeing very many of the things. Some of them are still up that I looked at then. There's one assemblage of, or it's a sculpture of cranes with snakes at the bottom of it. It's in wood, which is amazing because it's over 2,000 years old. So it's a wonderful object. But the Cleveland is, has always been dear to my heart, and especially this museum. It's in a region that has a lot of other things to it. That there's a science museum, and there are parks, and a flower museum, and every kind of thing that's there. Mm-hmm. So you, it's in a place called University Circle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great museum.
Yeah, it is. I love the images in the film. You see these old images of how they used to hang the art there, and they just put all the art on one wall. So they put sort of all the portraits together from floor to ceiling. It's really astonishing to see now, and then, you know, compared to today where we'll have, you know, one painting on an enormous wall that just sort of holds its own in the center of a big wall. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to see how they used to share the artwork.
Now, Aggie, yeah. You clearly have a love of Cleveland and your hometown, but we learned, you say this amazing thing in the film, you know, you've decided to move on from your marriage, and you say, I needed to be where I belonged, and that was New York. New York was where you needed to be. What was it that made you feel like you belonged to New York City and you belonged in New York City?
Well, it's because of, I guess, the emotion of the place. You feel, one feels very much that there's a speed that everything's going at, or there's a but there are places that you can go where you can relax and be by yourself. I just had one of the people that came from Juilliard, who was a former dancer, Damien Wetzel, and he was just out in the country and near us, so he came over, and he you know, you just get that transfer of various people. Everybody that you could ever want to know comes to New York and is in New York with a special thing that they care about, and you don't find that at any other place. I mean, as much as you find it in New York.
Catherine,
so I love
New York. Catherine, there's a real sense about your mom in this film. I feel funny talking about her while she's on the phone, but that your mom, like, not settling for the life and the parameters that culture and the time set for a young woman. Was there something that your mom did prior to coming to New York, or when she got to New York, that you thought at the end of this film, like, oh, that is on brand for my mom?
Well, actually, it's interesting because the two things she's most well known for, other than being a collector, is the Starting the Art for Justice Fund and starting a studio and a school program, which is the artist teachers who teach art classes in the elementary and middle schools and high schools, the public schools in New York City. And it's been for over 40 years. And she did these two kind of incredible organizations or efforts, enterprises. And sometimes people don't see the comparison. So it's interesting you ask because she started studio school right before she moved to New York City. And for me, I think there's a straight line from studio and school to Art for Justice because it's about giving voice to people. And your question about belonging is so important because I think she sees people who are left out, who are not included, who are not asked what they think, like elementary public school students or women artists, or incarcerated people, all kinds of people whose voice wasn't welcome to shine, whose voice wasn't amplified, whose leadership wasn't recognized. And so to me, it's, you know, as soon as I started making the film, I thought it was going to really only focus really on Art for Justice. And then the studio and the school effort just seems so clear and sort of clairvoyant almost, you know, this belief that everybody mattered and that the students would bring more of themselves to our society if they were allowed to develop their critical thinking capacities, if they were allowed to try problem solving and fail and see beauty and be abstract, and, you know, all these different ways that they approach the artwork in that program. And when Aggie, I've been in the prisons with Aggie, when she goes in the prisons, she sees artists. At San Quentin, there's actually an art studio. And when we were there together, they have a lot of programs at that prison, a radio and a university education program and other things. And we went, started in the art studio, and I thought we were never going to go anywhere else, because she was going around and talking to the artists about their work and why they were doing it and what they were doing and what they felt they were saying and what they were offering. She always looks at artists as offering us gifts and vision. They're very future-looking in their imagination.
My guests are Catherine and Aggie Gund. We're talking about the new film, Aggie. So, Aggie, we get a sense in this film of your actual love of art and your appreciation of artists, that you don't believe it should be stored away or purchased solely as an investment. How did you come to that belief?
Well, I've been associated with a lot of museums, both big and small, and I've found that many of that people don't get enough chance to see art and to appreciate it. And I mean older art too. I think just the other day somebody brought up Rembrandt, who is obviously very well known, and it was wonderful when kids can learn about older people too, people that aren't contemporary people, but also see something where the paint is still not dry, and so they can see something that has just come out of the studio, and as well as an earlier thing. And I think that those are what attracts people and allows them the breadth that they need to have to go into museums.
For museums, I mean, one time Aggie told me that she collects contemporary art because she wants to know the artist. But it was just recently, in talking about the film, around the release of the film, that I realized how much she loves the objects of the earlier art that she's referring to now, that she does love those as objects in a way that the contemporary art still holds so much life and indetermination and potential. And so she would never settle on, I don't feel, on these current pieces, the object quality, the material quality of them, in quite the same way she does the others. But she also made it clear, and this was part of why I thought the Art for Justice sale was so radical, is that she doesn't treat art like money. She doesn't buy it and store it and wait for its value to go up and then resell it for a profit. She's always, since the beginning, she explains in the movie, when she felt so guilty about having the money to even buy and live with this quality of artwork, that she wanted it to go to the people. She wanted people to be able to access it. And so she gives it as gifts to the museums and the universities. And she's given, you know, over 900 pieces to the Museum of Modern Art, for example. And in that way, it's not that money then is that there's no money in that because it's a gift. It's not cashed in. And so what was very different with the Lichtenstein was that she was saying the intention behind the sale could be different. She didn't cash it in to get the money for something to use for some luxury or on herself. It was, she was selling it to create resources to end mass incarceration. So that was different.
My guests are director Catherine Gund and Aggie Gund. We're talking about their new film, Aggie. We'll have more with Catherine and Aggie after the break. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. My guests this hour are Catherine Gund and Aggie Gund. We're talking about their new documentary, Aggie, which opens at Film Forum Virtual Cinema today. So let's talk about that big gift, Aggie. When you sold this painting, masterpiece, everybody knows it if you see it, to start the Art for Justice Fund. What was the tipping point, Aggie, that made you do this, that made you think, I'm going to sell this painting that I love, and I'm going to figure out how to make a change in this really stubborn and difficult issue of mass incarceration?
Well, I do think it's a difficult issue, and it still is, even though we've made some headway with our donations as well as many other people who have joined into this and have been involved with this for years. But the thing that set it off was seeing Ava DuVernay's film and the 13th, And she's made a lot of good films, but this one, I really didn't want to see it. I was out to dinner with some people, and they suggested this, and I thought, oh, it's not for me. It has violence in it, and I don't think I can manage that. But I'd already read The New Jim Crow, which was very influential on me. And I thought that what Ava's point was that there were so many black and brown people that were put in jail as compared to white people. And this just didn't seem right. And the reasons they were there was because they couldn't pay bail. They couldn't get out in a time limit that was reasonable. And it just seemed that there was so much injustice in this, this incarceration that I felt it was something that really did need more centered money. The people that have helped me have been the Ford Foundation, Darren Walker and Helen Wang among them. So I've had loads of help besides Catherine and Sonia and myself, who do lead this fund.
You know, Aggie, in the film, we get to meet a lot of your family, and you're the grandmother to someone who looks like me. You have black grandchildren. And what is something, as the grandmother of who has black grandchildren, that you know that someone in your position might not necessarily understand or know?
Well, I think most people that are white don't live with, although that's changing too, as everything is, don't live with people that are black. I think they're just, it's all positive. They're all very wonderful kids, and it's because their mothers are good mothers that they are wonderful. There's a lot to say about their role in this world and what they want to do. They feel that they're just as special as other children, and that's important to give them. Both mothers have given them their own appreciation of their lives and their selves in it. So that's very important to me.
It was fascinating to me once, Allison, when one of my children was with me and we were talking with somebody who was saying that me coming out as queer at a young age and having the politics I have, and then her having black grandchildren, has influenced her. And those things are certainly true, and there's really a back and forth. But as one of my children turned to me and he said, "Do people realize that she made us?" You know, that there is this way that she's open to learning, but we wouldn't be who we were if it weren't for how she functions in the world and how open she is to learning and growing and changing as a person. And I think that is the difference, that when you say other white people like her may not know, that they could learn, they would learn. And, you know, as the country is becoming more multiracial and becoming more people of color, becoming the majority, you know, that's really going to change, because I think people will know. You know, it happened with gay marriage, and people were like, oh, but my coworker, my aunt, you know. And I think what Aggie's talking about is, when she started out in her answer, she said, most white people don't live with black people. And that is the problem. That's what Bryan Stevenson talks about. It's not just segregation. It's actually an unwillingness to be proximate and to learn from being around and loving and working with and living with people who are different than you.
Yes. The name of the film is... I'm sorry, did you want to add one thing, Aggie?
No, I just agree with Catherine.
There you go. My guests have been Agnes Gunn, art collector, president emeritus of the Museum of Modern Art, and founder for the Art for Justice Fund, as well as her daughter, Emmy-winning documentary filmmaker Catherine Gunn. The film Aggie has its nationwide release today through Film Forum's virtual cinema. You can buy tickets and stream at filmforum.org/film/Aggie. Catherine and Aggie, thank you so much for being with us.
What a treat to be with you. It's very hopeful compared to the top of the hour news that we were wading through. Thank you very much, Allison.
That's what the arts are for.
So much. So much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.